Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
A giant in labor, many calling him a legend, gone. The legacy of Richard Trumka. What he said on this show almost 1 year ago. And today on the show, the latest from the Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades and the Office of the Ohio Consumer Council. Welcome to the Friday, August 6th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. And we have two guests on the show today. One of our contributors, also a sponsor, Dorsey Hager, on behalf of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org is their website. You can follow them on Twitter at BuildCentralOH. And Dorsey is going to talk about the movement on the infrastructure bill, as well as the PRO Act. Now, the infrastructure bill, we're talking about the bipartisan agreement, which is just over $1 trillion, and we've got some Republican buy-in. Do we have more in the full Senate? Well, that's what they're working on right now. They're adding a couple of amendments to the bill, and this is interesting, too. I'm sure Dorsey will chime in on this, and this is courtesy of the Coalition for a Prosperous America. And they found out that in the bill, there was a purchase of Chinese drones. Go figure. Now, these bills are always like thousands of pages long, and you never know what they're going to bury in it. So the coalition is urging the Senate to adopt an amendment offered by two senators, John Haven out of North Dakota and Richard Blumenthal out of Connecticut, that would prohibit federal funds for technology purposes from going toward Chinese-made drones. And included in the $1 trillion package is the $500 million for strengthening mobility and revolutionizing the transportation grant program, which is meant to help acquire drones and offer technologies to improve the nation's transportation systems. Sounds good. But here's the problem. The drones are made in China. And China apparently dominates 70% of the U.S. civilian drone market. We'll get into the PRO Act. As I indicated, we still need a couple of senators. Dorsey's going to talk about a facility called the Amgen 365 in New Albany, Central Ohio. A lot of job opportunities there. So he'll be our first guest. Andrew Tinkham, on behalf of the Office of the Ohio Consumer Council, will be talking about payment plans and what's called a summer crisis program with the financial impact caused by the coronavirus. A lot of people, not just in Ohio, but all around the country, are struggling to pay their bills, many of them delinquent. That could include utility bills. So if you get behind on your utility bill or receive a disconnection notice, it's very important to contact the utility company to seek an extension, payment arrangement, or other payment options that could be available. And there are many programs that are available, especially for low-income people. Andrew's also going to talk about legislative reform. Apparently, there's a couple of settlements from the Public Utilities Commission. And if we have time, we'll talk about door-to-door sales with energy marketers. That's always been a problem. So Andrew Tinkham will be joining us later in the show. Well, if you haven't heard by now, we lost one heck of a labor leader yesterday, a legend. I'm talking about Rich Trumka, president of the AFL-CIO. 56 unions, 12.5 million members. Apparently, he was on vacation. And Rich was only 72 years of age. He was on vacation with his family, and he suffered a massive heart attack, and they were not able to revive him. Liz Shuler, the secretary-treasurer of the AFL-CIO, confirmed the death on Twitter, and she said the following: "The labor movement, the AFL-CIO, and the nation lost a legend today, and I lost a dear friend. Rich Trumka devoted his entire life to working people, from his early days as president of the mine workers to his unparalleled leadership as the voice of America's labor movement. And on the AFL-CIO webpage, which is AFL-CIO.org, here's what Tim Schlittner, Tim is the communications director of the Labor Federation, and he pointed out that Rich devoted his life to working people from his early days as president of the mine workers. He was a relentless champion of worker rights, workplace safety, worker-central trade, democracy, and so much more. Also a devoted father, grandfather, husband, brother, coach, colleague, and friend. Trumka led the AFL-CIO since 2009. In fact, I remember when he was elected, because right after he was elected, he came to Cleveland, Ohio, and at the time, they just put in some giant windmills throughout the city, one of them right on Lake Erie next to the Great Lakes Science Museum, and he was talking about the future of wind and alternative energy. In fact, I've got a couple of pictures with him back then. He was secretary treasurer of the organization for more than a decade before that. And when I mentioned the mine workers, you know, he was 33 years of age. We're going back to 1982 when he was elected the youngest president of the mine workers union. President Biden and a number of Democratic lawmakers were quick to pay tribute. Biden told reporters at the White House he was a very close and personal friend. He said, and I quote, "At least he was with people who adore him." Chuck Schumer, the majority leader, choked back tears as he announced Rich Trumka's death on the Senate floor. "I rise today with some sad, horrible news about the passing of a great friend, Rich Trumka, who left us this morning. We lost a fierce warrior." After composing himself, Schumer added, "His memory will, I know, importune all of us to do more, even more, for the working people of America who Rich Trumka so deeply loved." Rich Fiesta heads the Alliance for Retired Americans, and he's one of our monthly guests on the show. He said the following: "Rich Trumka was a legendary labor leader. He was also my friend. Working people had no more committed advocate, and he will be greatly missed but never forgotten. He was our alliance founding secretary treasurer, and he helped build a retiree movement that will be important to his legacy. He also established a retirement security working group at the AFL-CIO devoted to protecting the pensions that have been promised to millions of workers and retirees around the country. He fought to make sure all workers have a voice on the job, a fair wage, and a secure retirement, a mission we will continue to fulfill in his memory." And Rich Fiesta went on to say that Trumka had a special connection to the Alliance for Retired Americans and a deep commitment to retirement security for everyone. And then there's Marty Walsh. Marty Walsh, of course, our Secretary of Labor. He went on to say American workers have lost one of their greatest champions. "President Trumka was a role model for me as a labor leader and a partner to me as a public servant as we work to drive positive change for workers and communities across America. Most important, he was a dear friend, and I will miss him." From the commercial airways, 30,000 feet in the air, to the deepest mine shafts, 10,000 feet below ground, there is no part of our world that was not touched by his grace and commitment to what he believed was right. My colleagues and I will be forever grateful for the ways he pushed us to think bigger and do better, for his wise counsel, and for the more just society he leaves us today. In the coming weeks and days, I hope the remembrances of Richard Trumka's unparalleled life and career bring people from every corner of society, from the White House to the factory floor, together to share the ways he lit fires in each of us that will go on burning long after he's gone. Powerful words from Marty Walsh, the Labor Secretary for the United States. I want to take you to an interview that I did with Rich almost a year ago. In fact, this is odd, because Joe Borky, our producer, was talking about bringing Rich back for the Labor Day show this coming Labor Day. In fact, we are going to feature Marty Walsh on that show. That segment is already recorded. And we were going to pair it with Rich Trumka, and that's when I got the news yesterday that he passed away. So what I'm going to do right now is take you back to that interview. This is Labor Day of 2020. And my first question to Rich was how he felt about the future of unions. Let's listen here.
I've never been more confident or optimistic, Flash. I really haven't. You're seeing more collective action going on out there. Our approval ratings, the union approval ratings, are the highest they've been in over 50 years. More people want to join the union than ever before. Over 60 million people say they'd join a union today if they were given the chance. So I'm optimistic. You have young people that are getting involved. You have seniors that are getting involved. And you have people in between that are getting involved, men, women, people of color, and everybody else saying, we want and we need a voice on the job. Give us a union. So I tell you, I haven't been this excited and optimistic in a lot of years.
Now, again, that interview was recorded almost a year ago, and we're seeing the effects of what he said. More people are joining unions. The other part of the interview, we talked about the pandemic, and he referred to Trump and the fact that Trump was ignoring a lot of things that the pandemic was causing, like unsafe workplaces. Listen to what he said about the pandemic and the unions involved trying to work safely through the pandemic.
I think the pandemic's shown a couple of things. First of all, it's demonstrated what we always knew, that there's systemic racism in the system, because people of color are getting hit harder by the pandemic than anybody else. It also shows that workers are considered expendable. They call us heroes. They call us essential workers, and yet they order us back to work. Like Trump ordered people back to work in a meatpacking plant and didn't give them any PPE, any personal protective equipment, and so thousands of them got infected. We have an OSHA right now, Flash, that is sort of non-existent. It's AWOL, and Trump has systematically defunded OSHA to where it's its weakest point it's ever been in its history. Fewer inspectors right now than we've ever had in our history, and so it's paid a price on us. And yet every day, workers get up and go do the work that keeps the country going, keeps the country safe, takes care of the people that get sick, educating our kids, doing everything that we always do in the best way that we know how to do it, despite the obstacles that have been put into place of working people.
What a guy. What a guy. He will be greatly missed. Rich Trumka passing away yesterday at the age of 72. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Dorsey Hager on behalf of the Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after taking Zantac? If you have taken Zantac and have cancer, you may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at KellyandFerraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our Raising Wages agenda, go to aflcio.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
And we're back. Don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the fine folks at the United Labor Agency, ulagency.org, celebrating 50 years. Founded in Cleveland, Ohio in 1971. All right, let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars, Mr. Dorsey Hager, who heads the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. We got a lot of ground to cover today, especially in infrastructure, the PRO Act, a lot of building in Central Ohio. But first and foremost, the big news yesterday that the president of the Labor Federation, the AFL-CIO, Mr. Richard Trumka, passing away suddenly from a heart attack, a massive heart attack, at the age of 72. I still can't believe the news. I really can't. Dorsey, welcome back to the show. I'm sure you're in shock like so many people are in America on the passing of Rich Trumka. Can you speak to what he did for the labor movement since he was president in 2009?
Well, it was an extremely sad day yesterday, obviously. Myself, Todd Strope from the Iron Workers, Robert Morgan from the Iron Workers, Leland Bass, our program manager for Building Futures, we were playing in a golf outing yesterday. The Ohio AFL CIO Central Labor Council here in Columbus, and we were playing in the golf outing, and you know, we're out with other labor leaders and other members of organized labor from around Columbus and Central Ohio, and you know, some camaraderie and raising some money and having a good time, and then just everybody's obviously phones start blowing up with phone calls and texts and emails and notifications from CNN and MSNBC and everywhere else, and you know, the passing you know, of Richard Trumka at 72, and just a total shock. I mean, we've seen him lighting up the airwaves the last 2 to 3 weeks, speaking specifically about the importance of an infrastructure bill, especially an infrastructure bill that is going to have prevailing wage in there, so it's going to have protections for workers. You know, the passage of the PRO Act, how we've seen, you know, since the early 60s, how you know, organized labor and has been taking hits from big businesses, how since the early 80s with Reagan and the firing of the air traffic controllers, how the alligator mouth, how we say the graph has opened up, how CEOs and CFOs have wages have gone up exponentially while workers' wages have remained stagnant or have even gone down when you factor in inflation, and the middle class has continued to shrink. So, you know, to put it quite simply, we were all in shock yesterday. There was a lot of conversation, a lot of sadness. We had a moment of silence at our lunch after our outing yesterday. But, you know, again, just thinking back of the impact that he had on not just union people, but all working people as he strived and fought hard for all working people here in the United States, men and women, to try to keep everybody and raise people up into the middle class. And, you know, again, he was always there with a word. I know he was on your show in the past. He was a huge advocate of President Biden, worked very closely with President Biden, one of the most pro-labor, you know, presidents we've probably had, certainly in my lifetime. Sure. I think that, you know, that Rich had a great deal to do with Marty Walsh, getting him appointed labor secretary, and a lot of the NLRB appointments that are going to help hopefully turn the tide against big business and help organize labor. And it's, I mean, I'm still in shock. When I got home yesterday, that was, you know, obviously our dinner conversation that I had with my wife. Her father, who's passed now, is former elected official with the Mine Workers Union. And, you know, just everything Rich did for organized labor was very, very sad that he, you know, untimely passing at such a young age yesterday at 72.
I can't believe he was 33 when he was elected president of the mine workers, and that's a record. That's the youngest president ever for the mine workers, and that he had so much energy. We played a clip from the interview that I did last year, and it was just, he was so positive about the future of labor, and he pretty much, to your point, set the tone. I mean, just think about what happened in the last 6 months. You know, Biden gets in office. You mentioned the PRO Act. OSHA is being revamped. The NLRB, we've got new people there, and it's union friendly, finally. I mean, there's so many things, and Rich Trumka had his finger in all of that. So he is going to be missed. He is going to be missed. And I can only assume, well, we'll see what happens here. Liz Shuler, Secretary Treasurer, my guess is she'll be taking the reins here. But that's a decision that'll be made in the coming weeks, I'm sure. All right, you mentioned the infrastructure, and I guess we're pretty close with that bipartisan agreement. I'd like to get your thoughts, because this is kind of like, I'm hearing like a down payment. There more needs to be done. This is over $1 trillion. I know that's a lot of money, but we need a lot done in America. What's your take on the negotiations going on right now, Dorsey?
Well, we've talked about this in the past. There seems to be a disconnect or an argument between the two parties on what is and what isn't. And, you know, a lot of people think of traditional infrastructure as just roads and bridges. You and I have talked about it. It's not just roads and bridges. It's government buildings. It's offices. It's schools. You know, as the president has said countless times, not only as he's been in office, but even when he was running for office starting 2.5, 3 years ago, you know, infrastructure is also a lot of these manufacturing and research facilities that, unfortunately, COVID and the pandemic has exposed that we're very, you know, needy of. You know, the pandemic starts, we're looking at other countries, you know, for ways to weaponize ourselves to stop COVID. We're looking at China to get PPE and safety materials, things that we should be manufacturing here and should be able to flip a switch, start manufacturing masks right away, and getting them out to people, you know, very, very soon. And we were unfortunately not able to do that. So the beginning of the infrastructure negotiation, I know that the price tag was right around $3 trillion. You had the Rand Pauls and people like that coming out saying, well, we shouldn't be addressing, you know, manufacturing. We shouldn't be addressing child care. We shouldn't be addressing. Well, that's all infrastructure that is an impairment or an impediment to people being able to go to work and have long-lasting careers. And I think the Democrats are certainly trying to work on that and trying to negotiate. Unfortunately, we have some people in the Senate that, you know, are kind of on the fence or even against the large infrastructure bill, and that are Democrats that are supposed to be on our side. You know, Kristen Sinema, Joe Manchin, you know, I think they're starting to come around now. The price tag's been negotiated down. I think we're at like $1.3 trillion now. Mm-hmm. You and I talked off air last night. When I was getting ready to go to bed, I saw a news flash that, you know, a vote on infrastructure could be imminent. As we scan the news wires this morning and today, obviously they haven't voted on it as of yet. So, but we'll see. But I think it's really, really needed. Again, my opinion, and I know I'm the building trades guy, and I'm all for it. I think the $1.3 trillion is simply a drop in the bucket. I think there needs to be more done, again, especially when it comes to schools, you know, buildings, research facilities, and all that. I mean, I think that there needs to be more done to make up for the last 30 or 40 years that, unfortunately, this country has neglected some of our concerns in our communities.
Dorsey, you know as well as I, it's important that labor protections be built into this infrastructure bill. And I know at the same time, we're talking about the PRO Act, and there's a couple of senators still on the fence on that. Moving forward, how do you see that panning out? Do you see some momentum as far as getting more senators on board and making sure that those that whatever we sign off on is going to be union built?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hopeful and I'm optimistic. You know, I spoke to one of the weekly meetings of our Franklin County commissioners a couple weeks ago, John O'Grady, Kevin Boyce, Eric Crowley, where they did an amendment in support of the PRO Act. And I was fortunate enough to be asked to speak and give some highlights on it and support of it. And, you know, we'd started this conversation discussing the two parties, but the polling, especially in key battleground states around the country, like Virginia, Arizona, you know, even West Virginia, shows that, you know, the PRO Act, the right to unionize, is very, very favorable with voters of all stripes. You know, 87% of Democrats, this is a poll that was done by Hart and Research Associates, 87% of all Democrats in those key battleground states are in support of the PRO Act, in favor, you know, the passage of the legislation, and 45% of Republicans are in favor of that. So we're hoping that some of these people that we flipped like Joe Manchin and Mark Kelly continue to work on some of these other people that are on the fence, like Kyrsten Sinema and Mark Warner, you know, from Virginia, and try to get them in support too so we can get this thing passed. And, of course, a lot of it, you know, falls on the filibuster and kind of what happens with that. But, you know, like I said in the county commissioners meeting the other day, one only has to look close to home at our programs, Building Futures and Driving Futures, to see what union membership and quality workforce and apprenticeship training can do to help poor people, to help pull people up out of poverty and place them right into the middle class. So the PRO Act could be huge for this country. That, along with the infrastructure bill, we could really see an expansion, not only of unions, but also the middle class here in this country.
Absolutely. You know, I know you hit the Building Futures and Driving Futures many times on this show. I have to ask you about the Driving Futures, and the reason for it, I just came across a story the other day about the lack of truck drivers in America, to the point that many trucking companies, big firms, are going outside the United States, and they want, oddly enough, immigration reform so they could bring people over here to drive the trucks. I'm just wondering, that being said, that's got to give a shot in the arm to Driving Futures, don't you think?
It's a huge shot in the arm. And I mean, you know, like I said, I was with our program manager, Leland Bass, yesterday. And in our programs that we run, I think we're currently at about a 650-person, you know, wait list. So we're obviously getting increased funding from the city, from the county, some other grant resources to try to do more training. But again, it's based on opportunities for people, and there's a lot of opportunities in driving right now. Our most latest cohort that we passed, we had 100% graduation rate, 100% placement rate, and the average starting salary was $64,000, you know, a year. And some of my friends, and heck, probably even some of my family members, I know we talk about these programs on the show a lot. And the reason why I talk about it is I'm so proud of them. I'm so happy about the work that we're doing to help people in our community. But, you know, I tell people every day, especially people that I come in contact with that aren't sure what they want to do or if they're unhappy in the job that they're in, that if you come through our program in 6 weeks, that I can get you a job again. Probably the basement would be right around $48,000 a year. And that doesn't include your health care, your pension, you know, full benefit package. And there's so many positions out there, And what you just said about the companies that are looking at immigration reform, we get calls daily from companies here in Columbus that are non-signatory, that are unaffiliated with the Teamsters or some of our other unions, that are calling me that want a partner. And it's like, hey, you know, sign that collective bargaining agreement, agree to these protections and rights that all workers should have, and we'll definitely work with you about training some people and getting them to work for you. So it's a daily occurrence where we're getting, you know, contacts. And some of our partners that are signatory to the Teamsters, the Anderson Concretes, the Coca-Colas, the UPSs, have been huge assets. And it's really remarkable when our kids are going through the training, they're weighing all this out, where they want to go, the Sigmas and all them, and they hear these, you know, HR people or these owners or these operators that represent these companies come down and talk about the business model and about the growth and the opportunity and the money to be made and the cash awards and the incentives and attendance bonuses. And it seems like a lot of employers are doing what they can to try to get people into the industry, and the opportunities are there, and I think they're going to continue to grow. So I'm hoping we can continue to keep this program rolling. And like we said, you know, pull these people out of poverty, pull these people out of some of these low income jobs, and put them into these great careers where they can hop right into the middle class.
Absolutely. Non-union businesses going to unions for workers. I like that. All right, Dorsey, I got to take a quick break. Dorsey Hager, the Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades, joining us on our live line. We'll do another segment with him later in the show. Andrew Tinkham on behalf of the Office of the Ohio Consumer Council.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all.
Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you were exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, we're available on 5 platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. When you get a minute, just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We'd appreciate a 5-star rating. Dorsey Hager on our live line. He's one of our regulars. He joins us from Columbus. He heads the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org, Twitter handle. You can follow him there at BuildCentralOH. And let's talk about BuildCentralOH. Talk to me about this big facility in New Albany, $365 million. You got my attention. What's the story here?
Well, that's perfect way to lead into this. It's an attention getter. It's a weekly occurrence now where I get a call from a business manager, an agent, somebody in the community, maybe an elected, who calls me and says, hey, have you heard about this? And then fill in the blank. And the most, there's so much work in Columbus going on, so much in Central Ohio. And we're fortunate to be in this situation that it seems like, again, weekly, there's a project that comes out that I hear about that is just an amazing opportunity for a lot of our members, our unions, and our contractors. And this Amgen is the one that's reared its head here in the last couple of weeks. We have a large pharmaceutical company from California who's purchased some land. They're working with a New Albany company in New Albany, Ohio, just northeast of Columbus. They're looking at building a $365 million production facility. I've had outreach to the New Albany company. Amgen's in the process of picking a general contractor, construction manager. They've got it down to the final three. Once they do that, I'll be doing outreach and meeting with one of those GCCMs, see what we can do to get our members and our contractors there on that project. Also, I've been working closely with the Ohio State Building Trades and Act Ohio. They've reached an agreement with AJ Stokes to do some things for them. Anybody who listens to the show and is unfamiliar with AJ Stokes, he's one of those guys behind the scenes, but one of the greatest people building relationships, outreach, and everything. He's worked on campaigns in the past. He's the young man that was in Missouri for a year and a half a few years ago when the legislature put on the ballot to become a right to work state. He worked with the building trade unions and the AFL-CIO out there to make sure that we got union members and all working people registered to vote to obviously turn that back so Missouri would not become a right-to-work state. But I've been working with him and having continuous communication with him. He's been doing a lot of outreach for us with Amgen, with some of the pharmaceutical companies and some of the people that they use, and trying to get us to the table so we can have these conversations about this facility. But it's going to be a very large facility. Obviously, they're going to have to come and talk to the building trades because we talked about it in the first part of the segment. A lot of companies here are really hurting for manpower, for workers. The building trades, that's what we pride ourselves on, getting great skilled craftspeople that work safely and get the jobs done on time, safely and under budget. So So I know that we're going to have lots of conversations with them, and we're going to do our best to make sure that we're building this facility and maintaining this facility in the future as well. But the work opportunities down here are just incredible. I met with a couple of contractors earlier this week, talked to them about the outlook on work. They're very optimistic, not only for the remainder of this year and next year, but they said they see no slowdown in the immediate future. So the 2 to 5 year outlook is incredible. Very awesome. Very awesome. It's a great place to be right now here in Columbus and Central Ohio.
So, Dorsey, that's one. And then there's another one. I don't know what the heck's going on in New Albany, but it's real positive. Takea USA wants to build a distribution center there as well.
Yeah. So because of where we're at geographically and our logistics, and then also because of our labor force and our ability to get a lot of people out of the colleges and universities and our strong commitment to workforce development here in the building trades, it seems like Columbus and Central Ohio is a go-to place for a lot of these distribution centers and a lot of these businesses and stuff. Rickenbacker on the south side is one, and then New Albany on the northeast side for distribution and data centers is another. And this is a company out of California, Takea, that's going to build a distribution center in New Albany. They're looking at about 350,000 square feet. Not quite sure of the price tag as of yet, but it sounds like it's going to be a pretty nice, pretty big facility. So we're really excited about this and hoping that, again, that we're at the table to build this. And we're looking forward to doing outreach and continuing the conversations and communications with them as well.
All I can say is your apprenticeship programs down there, they got to be on fire because the job opportunities are exploding. Can you speak to that right now? What's the latest on the apprenticeship programs?
Oh, well, absolutely. And I'll just use one of my unions as an example. I was with Pat Hook from the IBEW yesterday. I had a 10-15 minute meeting with Willie Thompson, the training director for the IBEW 683 at the Electrical Trade Center. I mean, you think about this as Pat, and I know he's speaking again Monday at another siting hearing board meeting here in Ohio. I think Pat and I have done 4 together. He's done a couple on his own. His new president, Mike Morey, has done a couple. And it's about these huge solar fields that are coming to Central Ohio. And as we speak to these and as I talk to Pat, I mean, everybody's busy right now. But the IBEW, you know, is looking at this time next year possibly having 500 to 1,000 more electricians than they have right now working here in their jurisdiction. You know, Willie Thompson, the Electrical Trade Center, their training director said that they've got more apprentices scheduled for classes this fall than they've ever had. So, and I'm sure all of our training centers and all of our apprenticeships are very similar. There's just so much work out there. There's such a need. You know, we've talked about it on your show before. As the economy grows and gets better, as Columbus and Central Ohio continues to grow and expand and the work opportunities explode, plus you double down and couple that with the baby boomers starting to retire, there's great opportunities for people who are coming out of high school or even out of college that are looking for opportunities and careers in the building trades. And we're trying to do as much as we can to let them know about those opportunities, to get them in our unions and get them in our workforce and get them on that direct path to the middle class.
Dorsey, the future is electric. I don't know if you caught Biden yesterday. He was with the UAW and he was driving that electric Jeep. And in that announcement, they said they want half the cars produced by the automakers here to be electric. And that's going to just open up the field. Think about all the charging stations. You mentioned what's going on down there with alternative energy. Wow. Hey, while I'm thinking about it, make sure you get me that local. Give me a contact at that local. We'll get them on the show. You're saying 500 to 1,000 job opportunities in Central Ohio in that region. Is that right?
That's the way it's looking. If a lot of these solar field projects roll like we're thinking, there's a 5,000-acre project in Madison County, which is one county to the west. There's 3 projects in my home county, Union County, which is one county to the northwest. Some are as small as 1,500 acres, but there's one as large as 4,000 acres. So just to put it in perspective, a 4,000-acre solar field, you're looking at 125 electricians for 18 months.
Nice, nice. Well, get me the contact information. I'd love to talk about that on the show. I want to be real positive.
Absolutely.
About the future of work. That's good stuff. All right, we got a couple of minutes left, and I know it's not all work with Dorsey Hager. You have some fun. You go out and you enjoy various sports, and I understand you did something with the Clippers down there. Is that right?
Yeah, so you know, we've talked about it on the show. I'm a huge sports fanatic. Anything. I was fortunate enough to go to opening night at the new Crew Stadium. July was a pretty good month for me. A few weeks later, we had Labor Night at the Clippers. I had a sit-down with General Manager Ken Schnacki. He had heard of the Building Futures and Driving Futures program. We had some conversations. He wanted to implement that into Labor Night, help us do some outreach. So one of our recent graduates, who's now a third-year apprentice in the IUPAT, her name's Ebony Davis, single parent of two. She's been making the rounds throughout the city and the region, talking about, you know, her success and trying to get more people of color and more women into the trades, and sharing her story. You know, again, single mom of two. She's making a great middle class wage. She also has health care for her and her family, which has totally changed her life and put her right there, you know, into the middle class. She threw out the first pitch the other night at Labor Night with the Clippers. She had a great time. Her kids enjoyed it. She enjoyed it. The Central Labor Council did a nice story on it on their social media, which you can see on ours as well at Build Central OH on Facebook. We also had BMA Media, our media company who helps us do outreach and communications, put together from our recruitment video for Building Futures some 20-second video clips that they cut out of our video. One featured Commissioner John O'Grady talking about the program. Another one was Commissioner Kevin Boyce. A couple others were some of the recent graduates talking about how the program has changed their lives. And we played those in between innings and pitching changes and stuff, and very well received amongst the crowd. It was a sellout crowd, over 10,000 to see the Clippers play. So it was a great night. And it was nice that we were able to share some of these things that we're doing and how we're being helpful to the community as well.
Sounds like a good time, and obviously you worked the crowd very, very well. Dorsey, we're going to have to leave it on that note. Dorsey Hager, who heads the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, website columbusconstruction.org. You could follow them on Twitter at BuildCentralOH. You take care, my friend. Next time we talk, it's going to be the Friday before Labor Day. Where did this summer go? So you take care and stay safe, my brother, all right?
You do the same. Thanks so much. Have a good rest of the month of August. And like you said, we'll be talking about Labor Day and Cleveland Browns football the next time we're together.
I love it. Dorsey Hager on our live line. Quick break. When we come back, Andrew Tinkham on behalf of the Office of the Ohio Consumer Council.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle, real simple, AWF Union Podcast, AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. Let's go to line number two, and welcome back. It's been a couple of months with Andrew Tinkham on our line. He is with the Office of the Ohio Consumer Council. Does outreach for the consumer's office, and he's got a couple things he wants to get into. Number one, payment plans. A lot of people hurting. They don't have their jobs. They're not going back to the jobs they had prior to the pandemic. So as a result, they're behind on their electric bills. Hey, Andrew, welcome back to the show. And I'll let you pick it up from there, because from what I understand, there's a lot of plans, a lot of payment programs that are available, right?
That is correct. And yeah, thank you for having us on your show today. And as you mentioned, we're hearing from consumers who are struggling to pay their utility bills, especially their electric bills, this summer. You know, it's been warm and humid, and a lot of people are using air conditioning, so unfortunately they're seeing higher electric bills. What we do recommend if a consumer does get behind on their utility bills is to contact the utility company quickly and try to set up some type of a payment arrangement. Here in Ohio, utilities are required to work out a payment arrangement that works for the utility and the customer. Now, if the utility and the customer can't come up with, agree on a payment plan, the utilities are required to offer two types of payment plans during the summer months. And the first payment plan is the 1/6 payment plan. The 1/6 payment plan divides the past due balance into six equal monthly payments, so you pay that plus your current bill for 6 months. The second payment plan that the utilities must offer is what's called the 1/9 payment plan. And the 1/9 payment plan looks at what you owe and past due balances and what you will owe in the future, and they come up with a special budget amount to pay for 9 months. So those are the two types of payment plans that are available to consumers if they get behind on their bill, if they're unable to work an arrangement out with the utility company. What's nice about these payment plans is they are available to all residential consumers who have utility service through a PUCO-regulated utility, which would include both electric and natural gas companies like First Energy, Dominion, AEP. Now, if consumers are behind on their bill, they may qualify for the Summer Crisis Program. The Summer Crisis Program provides payments towards the electric bills to consumers who qualify. Consumers can receive up to $500 if they have a regulated utility company, and that could include companies like Ohio Edison, First Energy, companies like Cleveland Electric Illuminating, AEP. And they'll give up to $800 towards a non-regulated electric company, which includes electric co-ops and municipal utilities. What's nice about the program is it will provide these payments to help pay towards the utility bill, but it also can provide benefits to help pay towards air conditioning repair, a new air conditioner, or a fan. In order to qualify, a household must be at or below 175% of the federal poverty guidelines. And if they meet that income guideline, they must have someone in the household that's either 60 years or older, have a member who has a medical necessity verified by a physician, have an electric disconnection notice or an electric or is currently disconnected or establishing service, have a household member who's been diagnosed with COVID in the last 12 months, or is participating in the PIP Plus program. Now, we have additional information on these payment plans in the Summer Crisis Program on our website at www.occ.ohio.gov.
All right, the next issue you want to talk about is legislative reform, and this involves some settlements on behalf of the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio. What's going on here, Andrew?
Yes, the OCC is advocating for legislative reform with the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio settlement process. In Ohio, utility cases at the PUCO are frequently resolved through a settlement between several parties. Now, participants in the settlement negotiations often include the utility, the PUCO staff, commercial utility consumers, OCC, and other stakeholders. At the PCO, there is an unwritten rule that there can be no settlement in a case without the utility's agreement. This presents an unfair bargaining position for the utility. Also, it further complicates settlement efforts involving participation by the PCO staff in settlements, because the PCO staff is really employees of the commissioners, which are the judges who rule in these cases. When negotiations among parties leads to a settlement agreement, the PCO often approves agreements without modification as the resolution in the case. Now, unfortunately, too often, settlements include cash or cash equivalent payments from the utility to entice parties to sign settlements. OCC finds the settlement process, for all of the above reasons, in need of legislative reform to better protect consumers in settlement processes, because a lot of times these cases result into rate increases for utility consumers. Now, in a recent example of treating cash for signatures, AES, which is an electric company in the Dayton area, included an estimated $5 million in cash or cash equivalent payments to the University of Dayton, Honda, and other stakeholders to entice those parties to sign onto a settlement. Now, our office opposed this settlement because of the many anti-consumer provisions in the settlement, including a continuation of an annual $76 million stability charge to be paid by consumers through 2024. So we hope that there will be some reform in the PUC of practices or legislative reform, which would prevent this from happening in the future. Another reform that we would like to see is the OCC Governing Board and Consumers Council, Bruce Weston, are advocating for the selection process for the PCO commissioners. As you may know, the PCO is comprised of five commissioners who serve five-year terms appointed on a yearly basis. When there is an opening, any Ohioan who is eligible to apply unless they currently work for the utility or have a financial investment in the utility. A 12-member PCO nominating council reviews the applications and interviews candidates. After the interviews are conducted, the nominating council narrows the list of four candidates, which the governor appoints from the list. The chair of the OCC governing board does serve on the 12-member nominating council. However, in recent years, several of the members of the nominating council have had ties to utilities. The most recent chair of the nominating council is a former lobbyist for First Energy, which is caught up in the House Bill 6 scandal. So what the OCC would like to see is we'd like to see reform in finding consumer representation on the PUCO Council. Since 1982, what we found that three of the five commissioners have had some type of employment with the utility company. So we hope to see some reform both in the PUCO settlement process that makes it more consumer-friendly and the selection of PUCO commissioners.
Makes sense to me. More consumers on the panel makes consumer-friendly decisions. All right, we got a couple of minutes left here, Andrew. Door-to-door energy marketers, you and I have talked about this over the years. Can you give us a synopsis and maybe some advice in case somebody comes by your door and tries to sell you some whatever energy plan that might be?
Yeah, definitely. And especially with the warmer weather, we find that more door-to-door salesmen are knocking on our door trying to sell us products or trying to get us to switch our energy marketers. We recommend consumers making choices on their energy supplier at the door. When you're making these type of decisions, it does require a lot of research and requires looking through different contracts and looking at prices. So those type of decisions really can't be made with a door-to-door energy marketer trying to get you to sign up for service. One thing we do want to tell consumers is you don't have to answer the door if a door-to-door energy marketer is knocking on your door. You don't have to answer that door. If you do talk to the marketer, some important things to know is you do not want to give out your electric or natural gas account number to the marketer, and you don't want to let them see your bill. That opens you up to possibly being slammed. And slammed is where a marketer takes over your service without your authorization because they have all the information they need to make that switch. So we recommend consumers to be careful. What we do recommend is staying with your utility company standard offer. We find it's usually the best price for consumers and it's the safest price. Also, government aggregation programs are usually very competitive and can be another good choice. We have more information on our website on Energy Choice at www.occ.ohio.gov.
There you go. Don't be scammed. Again, that website, occ.ohio.gov. Lots of good information. Andrew, thank you so much. Stay safe, and we'll do this down the road again, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, Flash.
That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up on Monday, the latest from the Texas Labor Federation and the plight of home care workers in the country. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful weekend.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. find out more information online at labortools.com.